Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text today is the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in all his glory, he will sit on his throne and he will separate all people, the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. This morning I'd like to tell you a little bit about my vacation this summer. Well, technically it really wasn't a vacation. You see, I got into a van with 12 high school kids and a deaconess, and we headed off down the road to Virginia. We did stop in Washington, D.C. for a day, but Monday morning, there were 46 youth and adults who converged on a house in an urban jungle. I don't mean it was a jungle with gangs and graffiti and concrete. I mean a real jungle. This house had about 2 acres of lawn that hadn't been mowed in 20 years. And so all of these youth and their leaders showed up, and all day they worked on it. These youth, I don't believe they usually do things like this at home, chopped. You think that's funny? Well, you should have seen them working. They chopped, they raked, they sawed, they chipped, they sweated and toiled until they were absolutely exhausted. And the heat was in the 90s that day, and humidity in Virginia can get pretty high. They did all this, and instead of complaining about how hard it was, they loved it. I've never seen anything like it. I couldn't believe it. They were glad to be there doing this kind of labor. Now, I wondered who it was who would let their yard get so bad, and that so bad that the sheriff had to threaten to find the man if he didn't clean it up. But later that morning, I met the owner, Mr. Hassel, his name was. He came outside. He was tall and thin, soft-spoken, meek, and I guess somewhere between 70 and 80 years old. And it occurred to me right there that Mr. Hassel was in no condition to take care of his own yard, but that was the place that God gave him to live. I had to ask myself as I looked at this man, is there an angel hiding in Mr. Hassel, waiting here to see if anybody on earth would offer help to him? You know, that happened in Bible times. Angels were hiding in people. The next day we split up and went to 4 different places. And at these houses, kids scraped and glazed and painted window frames. They built wheelchair ramps. They replaced siding and they painted houses and did a number of tasks. Again, at the end of the day, the teens were very tired. But they loved what they were doing, and they talked about it. I met more angels in hiding. One of them was even Jewish. This lady, vines had grown up in her house and went up the side and hadn't been trimmed, and they got into the siding and pushed it off and broke it, and then they got into the eaves and pushed up the shingles. It was a real mess, so we spent the day cutting it back and replacing the broken siding. She came out and thanked us. Again, I asked myself if she could be an angel in disguise, like those 3 strangers who came to Abraham's tent and they were hungry, and Abraham asked Sarah to cook a meal for them. And the Bible says, really it was 2 angels because one was the Lord. We visited a school for the developmentally disabled. There were kids of all ages there, but I don't know how they got how their condition came about, but looking at them, I guess maybe a lot of their moms were on drugs when they were pregnant. And it was real sad, but also joyful, because there I met a girl named LaVon. LaVon, I'd estimate to be about 12 or 13, African-American girl. She couldn't speak. She couldn't say one word. But boy, could she laugh. She drove her wheelchair kind of like Dale Earnhardt might have. She was fast on that thing. You had to get out of her way. Yvonne smiled at everyone, and as she sat in the courtyard there and all the kids circled up around her and they were tossing the ball to her, she just beamed and she was having the time of her life. Again, I asked myself, is Jesus hiding inside this young woman, waiting here day after day after day at this school to see if one of his servants would take an interest in her and show Jesus' love? Then on Thursday night, the kids put on a party for a group, adult group home that worshiped with our host congregation there. I've never seen teenagers so happy to put on a party for somebody else. But boy, did they have fun. At prayers that night, one of the girls in our group said something like, she feels like in her life she really isn't able to make a difference, that life is just so complex and she doesn't have that much impact on the world. But there, for that week, God was showing her how he was working mightily through her acts, through her life. The servant event, that whole week, was such a formative time in the lives of our youth, I believe, and the people we serve, but in my life too. I came back changed. And for months after that, the last 3 or 4 months, whenever I see somebody in need, I start to wonder if Jesus is there hiding inside that person, waiting to see who would offer help. And today this text comes to me. It's put before me to preach to you. This parable of Jesus about the judgment and the sheep and the goats. Yeah, it's a judgment scene. All people are gathered there, all the people who've ever lived on earth. They're separated, the goats from the sheep. You know, in this life, we do separate ourselves a lot, but when we do it, we usually separate ourselves by our color of our skin or our upbringing. We separate ourselves by the wealth that we have, our good looks, or lack of, or how we feel about ourselves, our possessions, our status, things like that. And as we know, those barriers can get pretty thick. But that doesn't mean anything to the Son of Man. When he comes to separate, he's going to be separating on a different basis. Jesus is looking for something else. And I don't know what you call it. Maybe it's that word compassion. Maybe it's love or concern for others or helping somebody in need. But all of these things, all of these outward acts that God's people do come from something that's inside them. And we call that faith. But it means that God has done so much for us, and we realize that it has an effect on us. It has an impact. It means that if we really believe in Jesus, we will have an eye out for people in need around us. Because we have been helped so much, we're going to want to help other people too. And friends, you don't have to travel to Virginia to see people in need, do you? They're all around us, all of the time. And now I have to warn you about something. I have to tell you about a disappointment I have as your pastor, a concern I have for this congregation. I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't love you. I just tell you something that made you feel good, but I got to warn you as a pastor, as a good shepherd would. For 7 weeks, every Sunday we put a note in the service folder in the bulletin. It said somebody needed a ride to church. 7 weeks. You know how many people called up the office or asked me what that was, who that was, or where they even lived to see if they could give them a ride? Not 10 people. Not 5 people. Not even one. Nobody in this congregation. Maybe some of you can't read, you're excused, but the rest of us who can read weren't concerned about this at all. Not enough to ask about it. You know what that says to me? It says we're becoming the kind of congregation where if you don't have a car or you can't pay a cab fare, you're not important. You can't go to this church. Couldn't somebody have driven a mile or two out of their way to help somebody in need who was asking? To pick up a mother and a child and bring them here so they could hear the word of God? You can't volunteer now because it's too late. These people have moved to Urbana somewhere. I don't even know where. I don't expect to see them around here anymore. But I ask you, friends, how could this happen? Are we going to be the sheep that Jesus smiles on in the kingdom of heaven and says, "Welcome, my friends, my blessed one. Take your inheritance, because I was hungry and you fed me. I was sick and you helped me. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you put clothes on my back. I was in prison and you visited me. I needed a ride to church and you stopped by and picked me up on your way." Not in this case. For here we turn out to be the goats. So concerned about ourselves and what we're getting out of life. My wants, my needs, my security, my convenience, my kids' education, my health plan. And we look around and we get the attitude that we can actually get jealous of other people and how God has blessed them. Why don't we have that? Because we can't see how much he's already blessed us. It's no surprise that God lets us get in the problems we do. You know, it's as if he's saying to us, "Okay, you think only about yourself? Then how are you going to get yourself out of this problem without my help?" And God is warning us today. The words of Jesus ring clear in our ears. You know the wonderful thing about our God? Is he doesn't just love the sheep. He loves the goats too. He warns them ahead of time about the coming judgment. He tells them how they should be using the gifts that he gives to them to help others. How he's hiding out there behind that person in need. He's providing that opportunity for us to put our faith, that saving faith that opens the kingdom of heaven to us as a free gift, how to put that faith into action so that we can grow in service. You know, in the early church, the first 200 years, they considered the poor, the sick, and the blind and the lame not as burdens, but as the real treasures of the church, the jewels. It was these who received our Lord's attention as he walked the earth. He healed them. He spent time with them. He comforted them. And he actually came to us as one of them, didn't he? Both in his poverty and in his suffering on the cross. He came that way to bring to us forgiveness. And to turn our hearts from the heart of a goat to those of sheep. The early Christians treasured those in need. They took in those who nobody else wanted. They clothed them. They fed them. Took care of the sick and the terminally ill. They gave housing to children with no parents. Took them into their homes. Even babies left out to die because maybe they were a girl and they wanted a boy. Or they didn't have enough money to care for another child. Christians would go and take care of these children, adopt them into their own homes. They did it because they remember Jesus' words. These blessed words that we hear today. Whatever you did for the least of these my brothers and sisters, you did that for me. Friends, we as Lutherans are serious about God's presence. Isn't that why we're here today in church? We didn't stay home. We acknowledge God is omnipresent, means that he is present everywhere. But he says that we can only find him in his grace and mercy where his word is. There Jesus is also. That's why we're here, isn't it? Because Jesus is coming to us today in his words. We're also serious about Jesus' presence in the sacraments as well. We teach that he's present in his supper his Holy Supper here at the altar because one reason only, and that's because he says he's there. This is my body, this is my blood in the bread and wine. Here today in our parable from Matthew, Jesus says that he's present in another place. He's present in those who need our help. How can we hold back? God has blessed us all so richly. He has given us, since the day we were born, all the things that we need. He has given us great wealth compared to how people live outside of our country in most of the world. He has been so gracious to us, and not only that, but he has given us an eternal future in the kingdom of heaven, not because we deserved it, but because he is good to his people, to give us a Savior, Jesus Christ, who would take all our sins and all our goatish attitudes and nail them to the cross and do away with them, and then rise again to give us the proof that it is true, and we will rise again. God has given us this for a purpose, that we might enjoy it and that we might be able to share it with others wherever we see them. You know, I have to tell you another thing about our trip. Older couple there that welcomed me into their house each night to stay there, gave me a room, and also four boys of this congregation who went along too. Their names were Heinz and Lou. They were somewhere in their 80s. And every night they'd wait up for us. I suppose they probably went to bed around 8 or 9 o'clock most nights, but we didn't get in till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night after all our activities and work. And we didn't smell too good either. And Lou would do our clothes, wash them for us, and take care of us really well and fed us so well. I got to thinking, why would people do this for people they don't even know? You know, it's this story here. They saw in us people in need. People whom God was leading on a trip like that to try to make a difference in the world. People who they didn't know, but they loved anyway. And that's really, really stayed with me, really inspired me to want to serve God's people. And I say to you today, God has declared you not as goats, but as his sheep. He has said that all your sins are forgiven, and he's restored you spiritually to the place that you want to be. He spread his love out over you, and now he invites you to share that love with others in works, in deeds, in words. So let that spirit be in you. Ask God to bless you with opportunities. Well, he already really has, but ask him to show you where those opportunities are and open your hearts to the many people who God would speak to through you. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus.